All right, Jim Rudloff, Marblehead High School football has joined us now, and Jim, it's great to be talking with you once again. How are you over there across the bridge from where I am?
All things considered, very good, thank you. Things have been going good. Everyone is relatively healthy and safe, so considering where we are, good. Good is the answer,
Coach. Before we get to specifics, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the novelty of winter football and training and the 2 weeks and getting ready for this game and that game and the conditions. Now we are, we're almost into April. The moon is high. We get Easter. You get Passover. I've seen these little blossom things coming up through the ground, green and with color on them, stuff, flowers. So what is the routine like right now, Coach, in terms of your being a high school football coach? How are things going at the moment, in terms of routine?
For the team or for me?
Yes, for you. I mean, this is really different because the kids are going to do what you tell them to do. But for you, this is just it's the novelty of getting into it. You're all set, when it starts in February, we're going to get this done. But now here we are almost a month later, and it's just a whole different ball game. It's still football, but man, it's just weird.
Yeah, we didn't expect to have the weather that we had. It's funny to think back in February, we were, the coaches were all texting back and forth, hey, I found these ski pants on Amazon, they're only $40, so we were all trying to get, gloves that we could wear, that we could rip a football with, and hats, and, we didn't buy the golf shirt that you get every year or whatever it is to wear on the sidelines, because we all just figured we'd be wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants. And so the weather's cooperated, and that's been great. The hardest thing has just been, figuring out how to teach in the spring and do football at the same time. I think we're all struggling. Those are the guys that are coming from a non-teaching job, and even the guys that are teaching is just figuring out. I know it would sound like, well, what's the difference between the spring and the fall, but we're just not used to doing it. The football season started during February vacation. It's going to end during April vacation. So it's taking two vacations that we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
But the season's not as long either. So there's good and there's bad. It's trying to figure out. I've had a tough time teaching a little bit, getting used to that and doing that. The football's been after school. The football's been, our athletic director's done a great job of keeping everything routine for us. So, a lot of things were simplified. There's no weight room that was open. We just opened our weight room today. So a lot of things that we're able to do, meetings, things like that, were done on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So the routine wasn't too bad. It was just, all of a sudden in the middle of February, figuring out how I'm going to teach my classes and coach a football team.
Yeah.
It was, for all the assistant coaches too.
But that's sort of like an emergency contingency. You're going to do it no matter what. And then now, 4 or 5 weeks later, okay, here you are still doing it. And, I'm just, what's the status of the kids at Marblehead High School? Are they in, are they out? Is it hybrid? What is it?
Yeah, so we are going, this will be our last week of hybrid. We've been hybrid all the way through the fall. We started, I think, in October,
mm-hmm.
going hybrid. And in that model, we've been pretty much the same, and this is our last week of it. Starting next Monday, we're going to be full-time. So we're going to have all the kids in classes. We've already set up the classrooms to represent the 3 foot distance rather than the 6 foot distance. We have, blue tape on the floor saying, the section where, the distance between the teachers and where kind of the teacher's teaching space is. So the school looks a little bit different, but still with half of the kids, half the capacity, it's not the same. We'll have some kids returning from remote learning, yet we'll still have some remote classes if the kids choose to do that. So we're getting ready to make a big change, and that'll be another thing just sort of for the team, for the kids, another, because it's very different. You notice the big difference in the practices in the fall when you go from no school to school. There's a massive difference there. The kids are tired. The kids aren't used to being.
Yeah.
They go from summer into classes all day. So now they'll be in school every day. I think that can be a good thing for sports. But the kids are, again, they're very routine based and they're used to the routine. But you and I talked about this before, and Tim, with the idea of nobody had to motivate the kids this year for sports. The minute the kids got on the ice or the field or whatever, they were so excited to be there. And I think the same thing's going to happen next week. The kids are going to be excited to see each other every day. They haven't seen cohort B or cohort A, you know, for example. So I think, again, we opened the weight room today for the first time, and getting the kids motivated to lift was nothing. You didn't have to do anything to motivate them. So I think, you know, as we keep reintroducing or introducing these things back to the kids' lives, you know, they're 100% behind doing them, and so I don't think motivation is very difficult at all. So hopefully next week goes fine.
Oh, that's great to hear. Tim?
In terms of the weight room, opening it back up, are you limiting the number of kids that lift at one time so you sort of rotate them through the schedule?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, we have a COVID protocol for everything now, you know, and that's the thing, is we're with the size of our weight room, we were able to get 15 kids in at a time. You know, three kids on a rack, you know, so that one's always working, one's spotting, one's resting. You know, with a break in between, we clean everything down. We have the kind of the COVID misting machines that spray the chemicals onto everything. So, but we also were very fortunate. Our weight room opens up into the outdoors, so the kids that were not working out were able to be spaced out outside and get some things done. But, you know, hopefully a lot of the older kids were able to lift at home, so you could see right away in the weight room that they were just continuing something that they were already doing. But for a lot of the younger kids, you know, the whole idea is getting them introduced to the weight room in that freshman sophomore year, and they haven't been able to do that, so some of the kids are just starting out, and you're hoping that, you know, you want them to have legs for this weekend's games, so you're not trying to kill them, but at the same time, you know, you've got to start somewhere.
Coach, the on-field product, if we get to that, you as a coach and the coaches that I've talked with, man, there's a laser focus on that. It's still football, and it's between the lines and so on, and there's pluses and minuses, but overall, when you look at your team, your kids, whether it's September or whether it's February, you know, you chart the progress of them, and I think I don't know what your report card would be, but it's going to be pretty good progressively, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about where you think your kids are.
We've gotten off to a fast start, certainly, you know, just, you know, looking at the scoreboard in the games, but it's not necessarily always about that either. You know, you're going up against, for any one of us, no matter what team I'm talking about in the NEC, what we're going up against isn't a fair representation all the time. And by that, I don't mean the level of competition. You don't know what team is have six kids in COVID protocol. You don't know if they lost their starting quarterback or their starting running back or their tight end that week because their cousin or their uncle or someone that was with them over the weekend tested positive. So they're waiting for their test. And how many practices did someone miss, and did someone on the coaching staff miss a practice? So, you know, it's not really a fair representation of, you know, Marblehead's playing so-and-so this week because, you know, we've got a bunch of kids out, and they've got a bunch of kids out. And so really what the coaches are doing is scrambling, you know, and constantly trying to fill the holes, fill the gaps, make sure that they can put a team out there that can do what they've been trying to teach all week long, and we're all doing that. You know, everyone's facing it right now. So, you know, so I think some of the teams have been hit harder than the others. We haven't had to travel yet. We're going to do our last three games all away. And so I've said this to every coach that's come to Marblehead. I can't imagine what it's like. Some teams have arrived by car. Some teams have arrived by bus. You know, it's not the same, and it's not, you know, and for us, routine means everything, you know, to stay in that routine. So, it's been challenging, you know, that part of it's been challenging. So I don't think, you know, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but in some cases, I don't know if it's always been a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for some of the teams, they're struggling, and I don't care who's better than who. If you lost nine kids to COVID or something, you're not the same team. So, you know, I think the NEC did something smart this year. They're not going to declare a winner of the league or anything like that. You know, certainly right now, none of the teams have the same amount of games, it seems like, I don't think.
Right.
And we don't, I know certainly we keep running into a case where the teams we're playing don't have as much film to give us as we have for them. They haven't played as many games. We certainly haven't played the same opponents. So it's very, very different, you know, but I will say that the coaches have been great about it. The athletic directors are doing, you know, the best they can. And more than anything else, that, you know, the kids have been fantastic. So it just is just good to be out there.
You know, it's strange. I went to Gloucester, Salem a couple weeks ago. Gloucester had 15 kids on the field playing. And I was like, where is everybody? You know, and then the following week I went to Beverly Danvers One at Beverly, and it was so strange to see the kids from Beverly standing outside of the locker room in their uniforms with their helmets in their hands, waiting for mom and dad to come pick them up after the game. It was like watching a Pop Warner scenario where the parents come by and pick the kids up in their uniforms after the game. So it was such like a throwback moment.
Yeah, I tell you, it's strange. We haven't, you know, we're all doing the same thing. We got the kids basically like hockey bags because for the first time ever, they're bringing their equipment everywhere with them. They're bringing their water with them too, if you think about that. We always provide, you know, every team provides water at practice for their kids, but now they have to bring their own water. So we've actually built in water breaks to the practice, which we've never done before. You know, the kids would just bring the water. There would be water at every station, for example. So that's been very different, but yeah, we had a funny one today where the first day we're using the weight room, and when the kids got out of the weight room and they came out to the field, they all realized, well, I got to drop trial right here and change because there's no locker room for me to go into, and all of a sudden, you know, pants started dropping and started putting on their pads, and you know, we tried to do, if you've ever seen, you know, a Patriots game when one of the Patriots players has a bathroom emergency, you see towels and blankets going up everywhere, and that's kind of what it looked like on Piper Field today. So, but yeah, you know, it's different, it's strange, but you just do what you got to do.
Jim, I want to ask about the kids, the article in the paper today in just a second. Nick Giannino writing about your quarterback Robertson, and your comments about him. But before that, all of this is. This is inside information, Coach, because we don't get that kind of stuff, you know, as observers, because we're just used to your talking with us about what we see and the routines in a normal year. But I'm wondering, what are the conversations like between you and the coaches in the NEC? And I don't mean to give anything away. I'm looking for that. But in terms of the overall understanding and the agreements, the things that you guys all see in common, across the league and how you as coaches and as teachers are dealing with this with the kids and maybe some of the things that the kids are having to go through. And you've touched on some of that, but, you know, there has to be sort of a common thread when you talk to, the coaches in the league.
Yeah, I will say this. It's a good question because it's different now. Years ago, there were coaches that were in the league for a longer period of time and athletic directors too. You know, you would have Steve Dembowski, who had been at Swampscott for years, Gary Malaya, John Sullivan at Danvers. You know, there just was a lot of veteran coaches or coaches that were ADs, or they had an AD that used to be the coach. And the communication was, I think, a lot more effective back then because you had people that kind of had been there a long time and it really could kind of say, this is what we've got to do, this is what it has to be, and I think more people would listen because they had been doing it for years and years. You know, in our league, we really don't have that. We've got a couple of us that have been around. I might be the veteran.
Yeah,
at
I think,
10 years.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's not a long time, and in my 10 years, we've had three athletic directors.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I wish we would do a better job as coaches is get together more often and have, and I think we've all expressed this, I've heard this from all the other coaches, is have an opportunity to get together and lay down like, hey, you know, we've got to trade this much film, you've got to do this, you know, and this year is going to be different, we need to do this. And we didn't get a chance to do that this year. There were no meetings, you know,
right.
We didn't have our typical NEC meeting, or we didn't have our meeting with the referees or get really any opportunity to get together. But with that being said, you know, I've talked to Bobby Serino a number of times, you know, Ryan Nolan a number of times, you know, we'll talk. Andrew Morenci's been great. You know, Steve Cummings is a great coach over at Saugus. And when we, you know, when you're playing, when you're getting ready to play, you know, I can pick up the phone at any time, call those guys that have called me and say, hey, what's going on? Like, what happened with you guys and what happened to that game? And the coaches do a really good job of communicating. And we have really good guys in our league, you know, really good people. That, you know, aren't, it's not, you know, not everyone's cloak and dagger and things like that. We understand kind of what we're doing, the reality of what we're doing here. And so that part of the communication has been good. You know, if there's been an issue or anything that anyone has about, you know, concerns about where they're going to be playing or things like that, it's usually ironed out. And, you know, like I said, though, I think, but eventually we've got to get back to a point where the coaches really start to talk about what we want to do as a league, because the league is, the league has been just a morphing, changing, you know, with what just happened with the GBL and bringing on Masco and the GBL experiment, the GBL bringing them into the NEC was a short-lived experiment, and our league just has not been stable in the last 5 or so years. And that stability, a couple changes in coaching, a couple changes in athletic directors, changes in principals. The principals really have a strong hand in what happens in the league right now. You know, I think they're probably the most powerful voice in everything that happens in the league right now. So those changes are constant, you know, and the one thing that maybe is you can try to anchor it with is the coaches, and I'd like to see us all do a little bit better job there, because someone just needs to take the reins. It used to be, you know, it was Steve for a long time, and he did a Steve Dombowski.
Yep.
And then, you know, before him was really Gary Malaya. So it's been, you know, we really haven't had that in a while.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, you just gave me a great idea for a coaches roundtable coming up in the spring and the summer. So I'll talk to you about that later. But Tim, final question for Coach, and then I want to ask him one more question about his kids.
Well, I'll hand it back over to you, Rick, because, you know, this is a wild, wacky season, Jim. How's the kid? I guess one last thing is, how's the kid done with the fact that there'll be no champion for the NEC?
Well, you know, I think the kids have a tougher time understanding it than the coaches. Even I did at first. At first, I was kind of like, well, you know, you win all your games, you win the league, don't you? But then you realize not every teams are playing the same. Not everybody's playing the same team. So how could somebody claim that they're the champion if, you know, if they're playing, you know, if they don't ever play the top two or three teams? You know, how can somebody call themselves the champion if they only have played two games, you know? But at the same time, it's not fair for the one team that was fortunate enough to do all that to say, well, then we win, you know, automatically. Everyone's got a different set of circumstances. Everybody's struggling a little bit. So I think it's easier for the adults to understand it than the kids. The kids don't care. Our kids have been great. They just know that, you know, and we say this every year when, you know, you hear about Max Preps is gonna rank the teams, or the Globe is ranking them, or, you know, they're doing it by a point system or a power system or all these things. The kids don't care. The kids, you know, always say, if we win every game, we win. You know, so that's, and I think, you know, for us that this year, that's the tack that our kids are taking. Win every game and then worry about, you know, at the end of the year, worry about, you know, how everybody else sorts it out. But, I think the coaches understand it. We've all, you know, seen each other struggle and seen what other teams are going through, and you know, thank God that we haven't had that or, you know, may still have that. So nobody wants to, be in that position. And so I think it's fair for everybody.
Coach, you're 3-0. I didn't see what's on the schedule next. This is, Easter week coming up. It's, Passover. What's next for Marblehead?
So we have, we go Masco, Danvers, Masco, Swampscott. So, tough schedule ahead.
When's the Masco game, the first Masco game?
So this first Masco game will be Saturday at 2:00.
Oh, okay.
At Marblehead.
Okay.
And then the rest of our games, I think from that point forward, are going to be Friday nights, and they're all away.
Okay. And finally, I'm reading this article by Nick Giannato on your comments on your quarterback, Josh Robertson, about, he was like 5 foot nothing last year. So tell me a little bit about his progress.
Yeah. So Josh was last year, was a sophomore and wasn't really even the freshman quarterback. He was a kid that at the end of the freshman games would get in. And we had a bunch of mishaps last year with our quarterback position in the preseason where, kids got injured. We moved a different kid in there. He got injured when we scrimmaged BC High. I think the Trapeo kid from BC High who, you know, at that time, a year ago, was only 6'9", 370. He took our quarterback and threw him, like, into the seventh row of the stand.
Jeez.
But, Josh ended up having to start for us in the first game last year, and we just were hoping to get through that game, and it was against North Andover, the defending Super Bowl champions, and we ended up winning that game, and Josh had a tremendous game, and we ended up going with him the rest of the way. But he was, you know, he legitimately was maybe, you know, maybe he was 5'9", you know, 5'9" and three quarters or something, but he legitimately weighed 140 pounds. And so there wasn't a lot you could do other than, you know, please hand the ball off, throw it before someone hurts you, you know, but he did a great job for us last year. So he put on muscle. I mean, tremendous amount of muscle. Like if there's ever a kid that you want to film to show other kids, this is the form you use in lifting. It's Josh. Mm-hmm. And, he grew. He's about 6 foot now. So we've been really lucky, you know, there is, it was a kid that, you know, is growing a little bit, getting stronger. And so it just opens up our offense a little bit in that now he has enough meat on his bones that we can say, you know, go get him, Tiger. You know, if you want to pull it, you know, and then we can design some runs for him. And it just, it makes our offense a little bit better because we have a couple of different weapons that we can use and keep the other guys guessing a little bit. So, you know, he did everything that he needed to do, to get himself ready to take a step up the next year, you know, not just be the same kid. And so it's even, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, he's only a junior.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, this is going to be, fun to continue. I hope he stays healthy and has a good year this year. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, just what the rest of the NEC wants to hear, I'm sure. Coach, thank you so much. And, we'll talk to you soon. Stay safe and be well, please.
All right, Tim and Rick, thank you. You guys stay safe, too.
Thank you, Jim.
That's
Jim Rudloff, the head coach at Marblehead High School. Always informative, great teacher, great coach, and good for the NEC and good for the kids, and we appreciate it.